بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وليد بن المغيرة was a very influential and affluent person. His yearly income was nothing less than 10 million dinars. One dinar is gold coin. And you know yourself what is the value of one gold coin. So multiply the 10 million to that gold coin. Imagine what was his yearly income. It was apart from all his other assets and properties. His farms and orchards were extending from Makkah Mukarramah right to Taif. When I had evaluated just his yearly income, it was running into approximately 200 billion yearly income. Mind-boggling. He heard the Quran Sharif recited by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he was naturally affected. So his immediate response was, Inna lahu la halawatun wa inna alayhi la talawatun. It's for a sweetness and an attraction. For a person to come onto guidance and to see things rightly, he either needs to have confidence in the person that he is speaking to, what they say, i'tiqad, or the least requirements is that he has a clear mind, no preconceived mind. He doesn't have to have that confidence, but his mind mustn't be preconceived. There mustn't be any bias and prejudice. So his mind is clear, it's easy to get through him. But if he's coming in with a preconceived mind or with some type of bias, then it is difficult to get through him. People generally feel, well, I am an understanding person. If I'm an understanding person, then I will get the message. Just the understanding is insufficient. Understanding, in fact, just understanding and mere confidence without love is insufficient. In fact, between the two, that is confidence and love, the greater element is love. Both are required, but the greater element is love. See, if a person's father is not right, then you don't have the confidence in him. He's going to the casinos, he's burning up his wealth, he's engaged in wrong activities, drugging or whatever. So the level of confidence goes, you don't have the confidence. But the level of love increases now. Because you're sympathetic towards your father. What's he going to? What's happening to him? You are crying, making dua for him. So your love will increase proportionately when you see him going down. So the same applies to the Shaykh, that there can be fluctuations in the confidence, but the fluctuation in the love must be always on the high. Though he may not be like that, but your love for him must just be on the increase all the time. And this love is like a precondition for the growth. You want that growth and you want it to continue, you need that love. We may have heard of that famous incident of Abu Abdullah Undulusi, right? So this whole kafla, they were en route for Hajj, right? In the journey of theirs towards Hajj, and that incident happened that we all know, he got affected with a Christian girl, whatever it was. And he broke up his journey, began to graze those swines, whatever it was. And they continued, they left the Shaykh there and they continued. So they met up some other Buzurg, Shibli or someone, great Buzurg of that Zamana. So he inquired from them, what happened to you people, where's your Shaykh? He said, no, he was with us and this is what happened. He said, you stupid people, is this the level of love that you have for your Shaykh? What you needed to do is remain there, beg to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cry your guts out. You don't know when that tawfiq will just come and he'll have a turnabout. In his old approach, he'll have a turnabout. And that's what they did. They made dua, they sat there for one solid year until he had a turnabout in his thinking. Total reverse. So, in this age what's happened is that with the abundance of information and knowledge, we feel that that is now the criteria, knowledge and information. But we don't realize that that precondition for growth is love. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, not al-mar'u ma'a man alima. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. So that the strength of love is far greater. Love makes you do different things, several things. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu says that in the battle of Badr, my father confronted me. I tried to avoid him, thinking that he's my father, that he's the Aminu Hazi Ummah, the confidant of his entire Ummah. His father tried to confront him, not yet, his father hadn't accepted Islam, and he avoided the father. Father came again. He tried to avoid him for the second time, third time, and he kept on persisting. So I smashed his head off. Finish. That he is coming in opposition to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is a love that I can't sacrifice. I can't compromise on this love. Everything else I can compromise. So one is that allegiance. You see that love requires that allegiance. And that allegiance, it grows and grows and grows. Then you come right to the crunch. At one point it is between your love for your wealth and the love for Allah Ta'ala. Then it comes to the point where there is a confrontation between the love for yourself or for deen. Now, how are you going to manage that? It's a very difficult one. لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهِ. If that love is great, then your allegiance is to Allah Ta'ala, allegiance is to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you don't want to break that for anything, not even for your own self. Had Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's father, Abu Quhafa, had spoken out against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Quhafa, that is the father of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr didn't hesitate in slapping his father, dropped him down, and related the entire incident to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is what happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cautioned him, don't do this, though it was wrong for him to do this. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had another plan as well. He perhaps related it to his father, to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Nabi Sallallahu makes dua. And in a few moments then, the dua just struck a chord, and then the dua accepted, he accepted Islam. So when you come to that confrontation, come to the crunch, then where is your allegiance going to be? Now this is where the hadith comes, that you love Allah Ta'ala more than your own self. Forget your wife and your children and your wealth, even your own self. So that's why the value of love, the price of love is very great. And in this whole process of Islam, one is your wealth, one is your person, and one is your allegiance. Is your allegiance greater to yourself or greater to Allah Ta'ala? It's going to come to that point, that where is your allegiance? Is it greater for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala or is it greater for yourself? Sheikh Shahab Abul Mu'ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he was in the khidmat of his Sheikh. Now his Sheikh used to be called out here, there, there's a program here, program this side, program there. Now he knows for himself that the Sheikh is living in constraints, in difficulties. He knows about it. That he knows that his Sheikh is living in constraints. Many of these Buzurgan Adin, they live in that constraints of their own will, not because they are forced into it. Like this Shah Ma'ali Abul Ma'ali himself, he's chosen this path of austerity and constraints of his own choice. His Sheikh had come down, come to his village to pay a visit, so he's not around. So the wife saw the Sheikh. Now the wife got a little bit helter-skelter. Now the Sheikh is around, and I don't have anything to offer him. So she tried looking at the neighbors. Nobody has got anything to give her alone. Now what to do? So the Sheikh now made out, when he saw this type of shuffling carrying on, he made out that there's some problem. So he confronted her, what happened? I see there's a movement here, what's going on? So So she spilled the beans, she told him that this constraints here. Oh, this is the problem, all right. Take this and buy a pocket of flour. She bought the pocket of flour, whatever she needed, she bought that. And he wrote out a tawiz, says, you see your container where you got that atta and all that, whatever your requirements, food requirements are, just put into that. Meanwhile, the Shah Sahib comes back. When he comes back, and he sees for days now this food, abundance of food, and not used to this. Whereas we are used to food, and he is used to the passion, there's no food, then he's quite comfortable. Anyway, after some days passed on in this way, so he finds out from the wife, what happened? So this is what happened. So now, these Buzurganadin, we need to learn a lot of things from them. On the one end, it's a tawiz. On the one end, he sees tawakkul. He can't disrespect his sheikh, but he can't leave out the tawakkul as well. So now, how does he marry the both? So he says, you know what? This tawiz of my sheikh is not supposed to be in this container. It's supposed to be on my head, you know. And ties it around his turban. So he's pulled it out from there. Right. The atta that was left, all the food that was left now, he said, give it out in sadaqah. Now he came back to that constraints. Now he's feeling quite comfortable and quite relaxed. So this constraints that came to them was not because of force. It wasn't istirari. It was ikhtiyari, of their own ikhtiyar, their own choice. They preferred that. Now Shahabul Mali Sahib Rahmatullah, he's serving his sheikh. While he's serving his sheikh, now you see this constraints here. And in the meanwhile, he's called out, there's an invite, so he's eating well. And his mind is going, what about the family and the children, what's going there? Shah Sahib is alright, they're feeding him, he's called, there's a call out, there's an invite, what's happening to them? In the meanwhile, he would strike a deal with the host, you see, this is what's going on. So you give me a tiffin, I will go and deliver the food and come back. I was calculating what was the distance that he was covering, that is by foot, you know. He is to be covering a distance of approximately 20 k's. He'll take that food at night, he'll go and deliver it to the wife and the children. He'll come back just in time to make the khidmat at tahajjud. But you see, this love, this muhabbat. And this is that thing that motivates, it changes, it capsizes everything. If it is just confidence and just understanding, that understanding and confidence doesn't have the drive. The thing that really has the drive is that love. And look at it in your own wife and children, right? Is it the confidence or is it the love? You think to yourself, try and understand the woman, what she's doing. It's not much, man. But then the love is something that blinds you. Say, I'll take her for Umrah, I'll take her for Hajj and do everything else. So what is it? What's the motivating factor? What was the driving force? The driving force was that muhabbat. And how you discover that you've got that muhabbat, just let her go to her mother's place for 2 weeks and see how you'll feel. Can you sleep? So your muhabbat is natural for you. Can't even resist. Even 2 weeks. Too much. Too much now. 2 weeks is too much. Wow or whatever. But you know, 6 weeks and all that. 6 weeks, that is an ancient tradition. Not a sunnat that. So you make up that masla because of your love, isn't it? Your attachment. Not because you are against bid'at and all that. But because of your love, you can't leave her. Right? So you make up that masla. Not a sunnat this. So these Buzurganadin and Mashayikh, what I'm trying to get at, they try to work on this love, muhabbat. And when that muhabbat is in place, then every type of sacrifice is easy. But if that muhabbat is not in place, then everything is a question, why like this and why not like this? Why like this and why not like that? So the sheikh has to be very, very apprehensive as to how he is instructing the person. I have to make him understand again. Make him understand again. Make him understand again. And when that love is at its peak, you just have to say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had gone for Mi'raj. And you find the immediate response in Abu Bakr, if he said that, 100% I believe in him. I don't need any type of an explanation. No explanation I don't require. I don't require any type of this. Although it's not within my reasoning, it's not within my analysis, not within my logic and understanding. But if he said that, then definitely I believe in it. 100% I believe in it. So the love has gone to that point that whatever Nabi Sam is saying, whatever Allah Ta'ala is saying, you're just going, Amanna wa Sallamna, you're just accepting it. Not like the Bani Israel, it must come to the brains before we go into it. اذهب انت وربك فقاتلا. We can't go and fight with the Amalika. Those people are like giants. We are like ants before them. How are we going to fight? So they're using their reasoning. And here they say, no, Ya Rasulullah, you command us. You ask us to plunge our horses into the oceans. We prepare to do so. So what was it? What was the difference? Here was love. It was muhabbat. And here was just only reasoning. And the reasoning takes you to a certain point. Beyond that, it can't take you. That's to say, no, I end up here. Yes. This relationship with the Anbiya alayhi salam within themselves and the ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a relationship of love. Ismail alayhi salam is being related. This is the dream. Ya abati fal, immediate response. Love is such. Love for Allah is so great. He knows he's coming from a family of nubuwwat, so he knows that a dream is a wahi. And it's a time that I need to show my allegiance. If you got that life, right, what is the good, I ask you, what is the good of that life and that health, if it is not for the service of Allah Ta'ala? What is the good? Very good health you got, very good life, a lot of money you've got. But if it cannot be used for the service of Allah Ta'ala, then you got a life of 1,000 years, al-fasana. But what's the good in it? Is the good in it, I could do something for the beloved. I did something. I have given an opportunity to do something. Then you say that life is worth the while. And if you couldn't afford, you couldn't offer anything to the beloved, then you say that I'm eating, drinking, and what is the use of this life? The life becomes very, very hollow, very unmeaningful. There's no meaning to this life. So here you're talking of this Walid ibn Mughira, and he's a philanthropist. So he's got a clear mind. He listens to the Quran Sharif and his immediate response. Inna lahu la halawatun wa inna alayhi la talawatun. The Quran Sharif has got a natural attraction. It's got a natural attraction. It's got a sweetness, then there's a natural attraction in it. Wa inna a'lahu la muthmirun. وَإِنَّ أَسْفَلَهُ لَمُغْدِقٌ. It's going to bear fruit. The fruit is going to be visible, it's going to be enjoyed. By one and all, everybody comes across it, they're going to be enjoying the fruit of Islam. And nobody is going to be able to restrain the power and the might and the magnanimity of Islam. أَسْفَلَهُ لَمُغْدِقٌ is going to gush out streams. The streams are going to go in all directions. You're not going to be able to contain that thing. Now he's a man of experience, man of understanding, is traveling abroad, doing business, etc., running around here, there, everywhere. So he's seen a lot of life. When he's seen a lot of life, so he knows what he's talking about. That it's got a sweetness. It's going to be bearing fruit, and people are going to be enjoying the fruit. And you're not going to restrain the streams of this hidayah. That thing is going to flow. All directions are going to go. Because of his abundant experience, he says, وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَعْلُوا وَلَا يُؤْلَى. This thing is going to prevail. It's going to overwhelm everything else. And nothing can prevail over it. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ بَشَرٍ. And it's, remember, this is not the word of a man. So this is the immediate response. When his mind was clear, no prejudice, nothing. So his mind was clear. Now, you know, in this world you have all types. Right. And everybody's got an agenda. You got all types, and each person has got an agenda, right? So I need to get at you, but I need to make up a story to get to you. I want to market a thing, then I can't just come and market something straight. And I need to have an agenda, I need to have a plan, I need to have a system. How do I market this thing? In the meanwhile, you're getting Abu Jahl and company, they hear about these wording of Walid ibn Mughira. So they think to themselves, you know what? This is Walid ibn Mughira, he's a philanthropist here. He's about the wealthiest person here. He calls the shots. He decides. When he calls the shots, he's the most influential person here. If he's going to make the statements, he's going to tilt the scale just now. The whole thing is going to go out of, it's going to go out of fashion just now. He's going to capsize the whole system here. Because everybody is just going to move on to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What will be left with us? What is going to be left with our autocracy? What's going to be left with our leadership? Our leadership will collapse just now. What's going to happen to us? So they worried about the leadership. So you see, the allegiance. Look at it. Just look at it closely. Where is the allegiance? The allegiance is towards their own integrity. The allegiance is not to Allah Ta'ala. It will never be to His Rasul. If it can't be to Allah Ta'ala, it can never be to the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So allegiance is not there. It is their own leadership. That's what I explained earlier on, you know. In the khidmat of the Shaykh Rind Rahmatullah Ali, there were some people speaking about Gandhi and the good of the person, etc., etc. Well, the Shaykh Rind Rahmatullah Ali just made one statement. Just one statement he made. And he says, jiska deen nahi, jiska iman nahi, uske akhlaq ka kya aitibar? Look at the one statement. This one statement is making a tons of meaning here. He doesn't have deen, he doesn't have iman, he doesn't have the allegiance to Allah Ta'ala, then the character of his, the good ways and generosity, humanitarian, etc., whatever he's doing, then that's, it's suspect. What he's doing it for? He's doing it for some type of political convenience. The person has got iman that is deep rooted within his heart. If he's doing something, then he's doing something for Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise he's doing it for himself. His integrity, his self-respect, to get some type of political mileage. So he says, jiska deen nahi, jiska iman nahi, uske akhlaq ka kya aitibar? Now if you say, hey, this person here, what a person he was, man. What a person, what a person. What a great person. So look at the bottom line. You see these type of people, right? If they can be in a church, they become Christians. Whatever the church wants them to do, they'll conform. In a temple, whatever is required of them, they will be doing it. Sit in the masjid, anything that is required, they will do it there. And then, if in the masjid, then they will talk. You know, if there was a great leader, it was Umar radiallahu anhu. MashaAllah, the Muslim will give him a great applause. MashaAllah, what a great thing. See how great he holds as Umar radiallahu anhu. So all of us must give him our support. When we are voting, give him our support. Now this is our reasoning, how shallow our minds are. But we don't know, these are all marketing tools. So now here, Abu Jahl and company, they are making mashwara here. Okay, this Walid ibn Mughira, he's tilting the scale here. He's going to call the shots, he's going to capsize everything here. We will be left out with nothing just now. So we need to, you know, wake up our case and do something. So what do we do? So Abu Jahl said, no, I'll go and sort it out. Obviously, when he's the father of Jahalat, there'll be tons of jahalat in him. Right? I mean, Nabi Sallam didn't give him the title just like that. There'll be tons of jahalat with him. Right? And jahalat will appeal to jahalat. Ignorance will appeal to an ignorant person. Right? Because you're talking of ignorance, then you're relating to the person. You're talking his language. When you're talking to his language, then he'll understand very quickly. But you're talking something at a higher level now, it doesn't appeal to him so much. Yeah, it's jahal, it's jahalat, it's ignorance. So now he's thinking of a way, how do I get this person? So he said, the easiest way, the quickest way is to incite the person. See? Now people get spurred up, and they get incited very quickly. You spur the person up, hey. You know, the wife wants to kill the husband, for example. Say, you're a coward man. See that gunman, you can't go and face him. Right. I want to see where's your strength. Say, me, I'll do this. Me actually got you killed. Right. Understand? So it's very easy to incite the person. It's very easy to incite the person. The person wants to show now, you know, I'm worth my salt. I'm worth myself. At that time, his intelligence, his rational, everything is blocked off. He can't understand, he can't reason. But is it the time to go and confront that situation or not? I must do it, but do it with understanding. It's not the coward. Bravery doesn't mean be like an ignorant and do anything what comes into your mind. Weigh the situation, see what you need to do, and thereafter you take the steps. Now, without understanding, aage piche kuch soche bagair, samjhe bagair, and you go and do things, it's not right. So Abu Jahl, he goes up to Walid ibn Mughira, and he makes up his face, pulls up his face, you know. So Walid says, "What's happened? Why? What happened to you?" Says, "Yeah, you know, I'm very much distressed, very much distressed." But what distresses you? See, you know, I think you are in constraints, so we need to make up a collection, you know, a hat collection we need to make for you. But where do you come up with this type of a conclusion? So, yeah, no, you're going to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're going to Abu Bakr, because perhaps your coffers are going all down. You need to go to them, get something from them, so your, you know, your fires will be kept burning. Now he got him incited. You're going there, why are you going there? Because everything is going down this side here. You don't have the type of wealth, the type of comfort. So you're going there to get something from them, to get your house running. Me, a person like me, you think I need Muhammad? I don't need him. So Abu Jahl got him on. Just to press the right button, and he got that button and he got him on. You think I need Muhammad? I don't need him. So where he was overawed with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he saw the right, he was impressed. Now one word of incitement, and there. So just that confidence is not sufficient. He had the confidence, but he didn't have that level of love and muhabbat. There was a level of love. The love was for himself. Allegiance for his own integrity. Now his integrity was on the line, was on the block. So it's either Muhammad or his own integrity. So the iman is complete when your muhabbat is for Muhammad, for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything else can go. Your allegiance for everything else can go, but not for him. Not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When it comes to that crunch, then it is seen, then it becomes visible. And where is your allegiance? Where is your muhabbat? And this is what the mashayikh work towards. So everything, there can't be a fluctuation in everything else, right? Like I say, even in the confidence, you can have a fluctuation. Now you become a little personal with the sheikh now. One day you saw him with his children, playing catching game with his children. Hey, my buzrug now, what is he doing here? Such high confidence I had him now. He's playing now. He's playing ball with his children here, and he's playing. So your confidence is affected. And you become too attached to him now, because you are weak-minded, and you saw him going to the toilet now, you're waiting outside, and you see, hear some music. Hey, is this a buzrug? Do you call this person a sheikh? How can you call him? So you will have this type of fluctuations in your confidence. Right? You will have these things here. Especially people that are weak-minded. And this, in people of contemporary day, they are like that, all weak-minded. I won't say all, but most are weak-minded. They don't have that level of strength, that stability in their minds. They may be smart and sharp in some things, but that strength of stability and firmness, they don't have it. Right? So to compensate for the stability and strength, what is required is love, is muhabbat. You got that muhabbat and everything. Kullu musibatin ba'daha jalalu. I've seen you, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everything is insignificant afterwards. But I've seen you, that's sufficient. Lost this one here, lost that one. Brother, sister, son, whatever, I lost the husband also. But I've seen you, it's sufficient. So that muhabbat, that is the thing that is to be spiked up, has to be worked, you have to nurture it and bring it up. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Mar'u ma'aman ahabba, you didn't just say it just as a casual thing. No, it's a very heavy statement, this. That you are going to be grouped with those people that you love. In other words, your allegiance is here first. Everything else is secondary. Parents, yourself, integrity, everything else. And these type of situations are going to come up. They're going to be coming up. Every now and then these things are going to be coming up. A wedding is coming up. And now where does your allegiance lie? You know for a fact that this is going to be videoed. And you know also there's going to be a little bit of mixed gathering. Now, what do I do? You know, they will say that I break up from the family. But then Allah will say, but you're breaking up from me. The family is saying that you're breaking up from us. But Allah is saying that you're breaking up from me. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهِ إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. Not only from the things that you worship, but I got nothing to do with you as well. وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ. Not just a separation, but we have a hatred. We don't want to see you. You don't see us. We don't want to see you. Now that is called allegiance. That is called muhabbat. You come to the crunch, you know. You go your way. You don't want to listen to us, we'll go our way. It doesn't mean we won't show kindness. We won't show fair play. We'll do fair play. We'll do justice. In justice, in fair play, and kindness, Muslim is next to none. But otherwise, we don't have that heartfelt, intimate love for you. Bada bainana wa bainakum al-adawatu wal-baghda. Allah doesn't just use one word, adawatu wal-baghda. Adawat normally is displayed, and baghda is within. You know, say bughz. Bughz is within normally. Adawat is what is displayed. So outwardly also we don't have a love, liking for you, and within our hearts also we have a dislike for you. Until you don't conform, you don't straighten up with Allah Ta'ala, you don't join up the line with Allah Ta'ala, then we've got nothing to do with you. So this price of love is not a small thing, it's a dear thing. But what we need to culture and cultivate is this love. Really, in all what we are talking about, doing a lot of things, but what we really need to cultivate is this love. And this love is going to be surfacing all the time. You're going to get situations coming up and again. Coming up. Now and then, it's coming up again. Again and again, it's coming up. So Allah is seeing, where's your allegiance? Is it to this or to me? Is it to me or to him? Where is that allegiance? Situations will prove that your allegiance is with Allah Ta'ala. You can't show love straight to Allah Ta'ala. With situations, circumstances will come about, and circumstances will prove that your allegiance is definitely with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not with anything else. Come what may afterwards. The consequences we'll see about it later whenever they come. But for now, we need to show our allegiance and our muhabbat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that sahabi to take that consignment of wine, you know, estimated value is over 2 billion. Right? It's all his lifetime investments, even invested into wine, because now Arabs used to be drinking like fish. So he went and invested that thing, he brought up the whole consignment, just came in the gates of Madina Munawara, and he hears the announcement without batting an eye to go and break those canisters and let it flow into the street of Madina. He didn't think nothing about it. Ya Rasulallah, but you know this is 2 million. You know, if I sell it to non-Muslims, what about it? Can you make out a plan there? Not Muslims, just non-Muslims, you sell it to them. It won't affect the Muslim market at all. But you know, I put all my sweat into this, Ya Rasulullah. You know, life must carry on, you know. You know, sometimes poverty can lead to disbelief also, Ya Rasulullah. He didn't make any bayan. What we will say, you know, what we will say, the best Muslim amongst us, you know, I'll sell it to Ya Rasulullah, but I'll give all the money to charity. I'll just take whatever I need, but the less I'll give in charity, without any other sabab. What stories will make up? But here, it's the allegiance. The 2 billion, the 100 billion, trillion is just numbers for them. Nothing else but numbers. Is that allegiance? Is that muhabbat? Without Nabi, what's the need? What's the use of that trillion or that figures? What's the use? It's got no value whatsoever. Allah Pak, give us that love. Hazrat Ramadhan used to say that the recommended hadith dua, Allahumma rzuqni hubbak وَحُبَّ رَسُولِكَ وَحُبَّ مَنْ يَنْفَعُنِ حُبُّهُ عِنْدَكَ. That we ask you to be sustained to your love. We don't ask just the love, but we ask to be sustained, your rozi. Muhabbat ki rozi ata farma. In other words, we sustain, we live, we exist through love. Because of the love of Allah Ta'ala, we live. So, our bonding with Allah Ta'ala must be such that we are desperate for that love. So we're asking Allah Ta'ala desperately, Allah Ta'ala, grant us that love, grant us that muhabbat. It's not just an affinity, it's not just a taluk and a relationship, but it's a bond of life and death. And we need to give our lives also, we'll give it. We don't bat an eye. We don't feel any hesitation, any reservation. So they say, Jaan di hui thi usi ki thi, haq to yeh hai ki haq ada nahi hua. If I gave my life, then it was the life. It was a gift of Allah Ta'ala. If I gave it, then it was His. It went back to Him. The right thing is that really I couldn't accomplish, and I couldn't stand to the levels of love. So that you're so priceless, and you're so valuable, and you're so great, that to the level of love I couldn't stand up. So we're talking of Walid ibn Mughira, and he is Abu Jahl comes to incite him. And then he reasons with Abu Jahl. He's not totally lost. He got lost for some time, but he's not totally lost. He says, you people are calling him a poet. But do you see a clear distinction between his wording and poetry? Don't you see? It's totally different. Say, yes, love Allah. He says, yes, definitely. Who is saying? Abu Jahl is saying. Definitely I see there's a different, there's a total clear difference. It's got nothing to do with poetry. There's no comparison between it and poetry. And then you people say he's a soothsayer. But do you compare his statements with the statements of a soothsayer? Do you see anything in common there? So no common. Wallah, no, there's nothing common. He's totally different. And then you people say that he's a magician. But you know the statements and the wording of a magician and his word. Do you see anything in common there? No, we don't see anything in common. So now he turns the whole thing back to Walid now. Because he needs to get Walid spinned off from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, turned off from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So how did he, turn him off? See, Jahl. So he says, alright, Walid, then what should we do? What should we say? Make him big. Make him the decisions like as though you're standing behind him and taking the shots. You got his shield now, and just shoot behind him. What should we say? So the Quran Sharif says, Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida. Leave me to the person who I had created all alone. And this Walid used to say, Ana al-Wahid ibn al-Wahid. I am that loner, the son of a loner. In other words, I am unique. And the son of the person that was unique in my wealth, in my disposition, in my position amongst the Quraysh, I'm absolutely unique. Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida. وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَعْلًا مَمْدُودًا. And we granted him wealth in abundance. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. And for children to be on his sides. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahman says that the trend in this day is that we educate our children, and after we educate them, then we send them far and abroad for education, etc., for wealth, etc. So really our relationship with our children is what? It's the relationship of wealth. So they must go anywhere, but they must pour in the wealth. Now and then they must come and see us, but they must just pour in the wealth also, all to us. But the blessing is when وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا, when your children are on your sides. See, that's the blessing. Otherwise the relationship between you and your children is not a real relationship, it's not a natural relationship. It's just because of wealth. You got the wealth, then you're on my side. You haven't got the wealth, then I don't need you. So you see how we have gone. Our reasoning is gone off. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا كَلَّا إِنَّهُ كَانَ لِآيَاتِنَا عَنِيدًا. It's a long ayat. إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. So this person, Walid, now he began to think now what to say. فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. He's trying to work it out. Pondering what to say. And he's trying to work out a plan. Suggesting. ثُمَّ نَظَرْ ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرْ. Then he looked around. And then he pulled up his face. Abasa wa basar, and he frowned, you know, as though the wording of Nabi Sam is very disgusting. Abasa wa basar. So as though it's something very, very disgusting, something that is very, very disliked. See this relationship, what can happen? Just in a few words, and how he tilled the person, completely on the other side. Allama Ibn Kasir rahmatullah alayhi, he relates in a hadith. He says, there is a friendship between two good people, two righteous people, and there's a relationship between two wrong and sinful people. So this relationship between the two good, one was encouraging the other, you know. Every good work he was encouraging him. So anyway, the one person dies. As the one person dies, then he pleads to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah Ta'ala, I had a friend in this world. He used to call me for namaz. He used to remind me about the laws of Allah Ta'ala. He would take me in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Come out for gush, come out for this, come out for that, whatever. Right? So he used to remind me all the time. Gush and all that, I'm telling you in my own words now. It was not the wording of the hadith, obviously. Just giving you my own word. Because it's coming into the same meaning, you understand? He used to encourage me, come out, do the work of Allah Ta'ala, read namaz, do your obligations, fulfill your obligations to Allah Ta'ala, leave out the wrongs. So he used to keep on encouraging me. And number two, he used to remind me that there is a day that I will face Allah Ta'ala. There is a life after death. He would remind me all the time about Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that I will stand before you. So Allah Ta'ala, just because of His constant encouragement, He's always He's encouraging me, that I am here where I am. So Allah Ta'ala, like He encouraged me throughout my life, Allah Ta'ala, you guide him, don't allow him to get misled. Let him remain on that cause. Don't ever allow him to be misled. Let him remain in that cause, so that when he dies, then he can also enjoy like I am enjoying. He sees that abode that I am seeing. He enjoys like I am enjoying. So Allah Ta'ala, time, go. If you only knew what we had got in store for him, you will cry less and you will laugh a lot. Now when I look at this hadith, I think, you know, that person has got righteousness, he's scoring all around. He's got some neki, he's good in himself, he's good for others, then he's scoring all around. Whilst he's alive, then he's scoring as well. Because of his righteousness and his virtue, he's reading namaz, right? Right. And because of your righteousness, you're getting the du'as of every Muslim in the world that is performing namaz. Every Muslim, Allah Pak made it a compulsory duty that you make dua for the other namazi as well. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Simultaneously, you're getting, if a billion Muslims are performing namaz, you're getting a billion duas. Everybody is making dua for you. But Allah Pak save him. Salamati unko nasib farma. A billion Muslims are making dua for you 5 times every day. Every day. Minimum, they're making 5 times dua for you. So you can imagine how much you're getting. Just for that little bit of virtue, just for a little bit of righteousness. And Allah Pak makes it a compulsory duty that you make dua for that person. One person asked me, you know, he said, no, you know, I like to give bayans, God, here, there, Jamaat, whatever, give bayans and all that. Sometimes I think, you know, that I'll become popular and all that, whatever. So then I think it's not the better thing for me to give bayans and all that. Mulana, so he's asking me, what must I do? So sometimes you turn it around, turn the whole thing around. And just turn your mindset. Look at a situation, right? If you got a little bit of encouragement, you encourage your household. As you walk into your house, you got your one son reading Quran Sharif. Other son performing namaz, nafil namaz. Other daughter, perhaps she's reading some kitab. And your wife, she's making dua and she's crying, right? Now when you come into that type of environment, then will you have the heart to look at it? Television or a video or something like that. Will you have that heart? You say, I can't be a black sheep. Everybody is doing good here. Everybody is such a sweet and a beautiful environment. Why must I spoil it here? You just also say, let me take one musalla. Let me at least join the crowd here. At least let me do something at least. They're doing everything. How can I be the black sheep in this whole thing? That was as per your encouragement. So exactly based the same principle in your life in a community. If you were to be encouraging by performing namaz, come for kitab reading, do this, whatever else, right? Now, that is like your shield, it is your protection, it is your fortress. Because everybody, you're encouraging people, when they are doing it, you look like the odd one out. You tell them to perform namaz and you're sleeping. Asking them, you know, read your namaz with the takbir ula, come a little bit early to the masjid, then you're pulling in last. Say, hey, I'll read it for one day, I can't do it again. Everybody I'm inviting, they're doing the thing and I'm not doing it. So you're inviting, you're talking, why are you talking? For your own protection. If you're not going to talk, then just now you will drop your guard. You will drop your own guard, so just to strengthen your guard, you're inviting them. Not for their Islam, for your own reformation, but this is how you must look at it. Because if you look at, now I'm going to make their Islam and all that, what's going to happen, you're going to be looking at their mistake. Oh, this person here, his beard is not right. The Juma must catch him. How long I'm talking to them, they don't know about the sunnah of beard also. So you're going to be fighting with everybody. But if you're going to turn it around, then you will be looking for your own protection. I need to protect myself. Whatever happens, but I need to come out from this very clearly. So just turn your mindset and you see what a difference you will make. So we're talking about this person here, the righteous person, and because of his virtue, he is collecting the dua of every person that is living. Then, number two, at the second level, he is getting the du'as from the graves as well. Like that, we go to the graveyard and make some fatiha there. They're returning the du'as also to us. Do you know that? You know, we say that shaheed doesn't die, you know. Shaheed doesn't die. He lives. Allah Pak gives him another life. What is the nature of the life? Allah Pak knows best. We don't have to look into all this.
The fact that Allah Pak's Nabi told us that they are living, it's enough for us. Like, we don't have to go and see now how it happens and all that. Allah Pak's Nabi didn't ask us to do that. What he asked us, we must do it. Right? The law will tell us that you must drive on the left and drive at this speed. Right? So you need to conform with that, to drive on the left and to conform to that speed. They didn't ask you to and find out why must I drive on the left, what is the hikmat, what is the philosophy, what is the wisdom. They didn't ask you to go and find out. Because any police will catch. So he will not ask you, you know what, you can't ask the police, by why do you have to drive on the left? And why do you have to maintain the speed? Can you ask him? Can you go to court and ask them, why do I have to drive at this speed? You know, there's no car there, why must I stop at the red? Why? What is the wisdom? What is the philosophy? You tell me the philosophy, then I'm prepared to accept you. Do you accept that? You don't go by that. Say, no, I must just know the law. I don't need to know the philosophy of the law. I need to know the law that is sufficient, not the philosophy of the law. Now, where we went off is that we want to know the philosophy and the wisdom of the law. That is not for us. Like a small little government here, Kachara government anywhere, they are not prepared to share the philosophy. They are not prepared to say, this is law, first, but you listen to us. You go to an advocate as well, the advocate will tell you, this is the law. I didn't study the philosophy of the law, I studied the law. I tell you what is right, what is not right, legal and illegal, I tell you. So it's not my place to tell you the philosophy and the wisdom of the law, but to impress upon you upon the law, that is my duty. So anyway, you're getting the dua at a second level from who? From the dead. So we talk of Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he was Shaheed in the 1857, the mutiny that took place, he was Shaheed, right? One person came there and he heard that this is a Shaheed's grave. So like how, you know, we go through a person's grave, read some kulwala or something and send the sawab. So he went there to read some kulwala and send the sawab there. And he came from the Kabristan and he's asking the people, hey, whose grave is this person? Whose grave is this? It's a bara maskhara lagta hai. He's a big joker, this person, man. So what happened? So he's telling me, jao, Fatiha to murde ke bar padte, zinde ke bar ture padte. You make dua and Fatiha and all that for the dead, not for the living. You know, he's telling, I'm a shaheed, so I'm alive. You don't make Fatiha upon me. You make Fatiha for the dead. And I'm a shaheed, so I'm alive. So why are you making Fatiha for me? So at the second level, you're getting dua from the deceased also. They're making dua for you. In Shok and Watan, Al-Mu'a Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes there, that your folks, your parents, etc., Allah Pak tells them, informs them also about the good that you were doing. And when they hear about the good that you were doing, or you are doing, then their faces actually light up in brilliance and happiness. Now I ask you, you want your parents' faces to be lit up with happiness, or you want them to be in gloom? What do you want? An easy prescription is, do righteous work, good works, your good deeds are presented before them. When your good deeds are presented before them, you are lighting up the faces. You can't do much for them. Now they don't need the rental from you. They don't need food from you. They don't need anything. But the least that you could have done is brighten up the face. Just increase the enjoyment. How you increase the enjoyment is do the right. Leave out the wrong and do the right. And that's an easy way to please your parents that are deceased. Just do the right thing. So at that level again you are enjoying. You are enjoying from the grave again. And in the akhirat also you are enjoying. In the hereafter you are also enjoying. Because your deeds don't end up. In the akhirat also, because you've been doing such works, your deeds are just multiplying and multiplying. But by the same token, the wrong person, this is the right person. Now it's an evil companionship. When there's an evil companionship, one person dies. So the person that dies, he says, Allah Ta'ala, you know, I had a friend. And he used to discourage me. He wouldn't even encourage me towards namaz, towards zakat, towards doing the right and leaving out the wrong. He wouldn't ever encourage me. Always, you know, wrong things. You come and see this video here, the big gathering here, go to the club, take this all here, or take this ganja, whatever else, right? Do all these wrong things, right? So he was discouraging me from the right, leading me on to the wrong. And he would impress upon me the way he used to talk to me, as though the akhirat was a far-fetched thing, a dream. So Allah Ta'ala, like you have jailed me in Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala, you let him be misguided his whole life. What he's making is cursing you. At this level of the grave, he's cursing you. Allah Ta'ala, you misguide him. Don't ever let him come onto the right. Don't ever let him come on the guidance. Let him be suffering in misguidance. Until he dies, and until he sees that same azab that I am seeing today. Until he sees that punishment that I am seeing today. So you are under perpetual curse. Curse amongst the living, curse amongst the dead. Curse amongst the living and curse amongst the dead. The living, la'natullahi al-kazibin. The Quran Sharif is saying, la'natullahi al-kafirin. La'natullahi al-zalimin. Upon the wrong, upon the sinner, upon the person that he is transgressing the limits. The curse of Allah Ta'ala. Everybody that is writing Quran Sharif is cursing the living. At the level of living, you're getting cursed. At the level of the grave, you're getting cursed. And the level of the akhirat also, you're getting cursed. Inna ata'na sadatana wa kubara'ana fa'adalluna sabila. Rabbana atin di'atayni min al-azab wal anhum la'anan kabira. We followed all these people here. All these kachras people, we followed them. They told us, do this stupid thing and this wrong things. We went and listened to them. Go and do interest, go and do insurance, go and do this. You'll be secure. We listened to them, all the wrong things we did. So Allah, we listened to them for our material security. For material security and protection, we listened to them. So Allah Ta'ala, آتِيم ذِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَالْعَنُمْ لَعَنًا كَبِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala, multiply the punishment. And let your curse rain upon them. وَالْعَنُمْ لَعَنًا كَبِيرًا. Let it rain and pour upon them. So you're getting cursed in this world, getting cursed in the grave, the people of the grave are cursing you. And in the akhirat also, you're getting cursed. And righteousness, you're getting blessed from all levels. In the living, there is blessings. Everybody is making dua for you. Simultaneously, millions of people are making dua for you. In Haram Sharif, at the Hajj time or any season time, a million people. Imagine at that one time, simultaneously, a million people are making dua for you. In the grave, you're getting duas. In the akhirat, you're getting duas. Salamun qawlam min rabbirahim. You're getting salams from everybody. From the malaika, from the mu'min, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're getting salams and duas from that level. So we're talking of Walid ibn Mughira, right? And his response, when he's incited a little bit, he's spurred on. And just look how he takes a somersault, how he capsizes totally. So his allegiance, where does his allegiance lie? His allegiance lies to his own self, to his own integrity, his own self-respect. Where he saw that his integrity and self-respect is on the block, you know. It's on the line. He said, no, I can't sacrifice this. Everything else I can sacrifice, my integrity, my respect, I can't let it go. It's not a good thing to relate. But then you look at Abu Talib as well. What was the problem there? Right at the last moment now, Nabi Sallam tried for him. Obviously, he did a lot for Islam. He did a lot for Islam. He did a lot for Nabi Sallam. He did. We all read the history, not what he had done. But then, just it required one kafir to come and incite him. That you are going to recite the kalima just for the fear of Jahannam. So he didn't want this to be in the archives of the Quraysh, that Abu Talib had accepted Islam just on account of the fear of Jahannam. He didn't want that. He said, oh, his man here, such a great man, he was fighting for Jahannam. So that would be against his integrity. He'll be against his self-respect. He'll be against his esteem. He said, no, just to save my integrity, I'm not going to accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People may know that I'm a brave person. I didn't accept him just because of fear. Otherwise they will say that just because of fear I accepted Islam. So I don't want that to be tarnishing my respect and my integrity. Sometimes the takabbur becomes a catalyst for kufr. It becomes the blockage. It becomes the obstacle on the path of iman as well. Forget righteousness. Even it becomes a blockage. It becomes an obstacle in the path of iman. What? Your integrity, your self-respect and your esteem. So this whole effort in this khanqa is aimed at the same thing, by get this thing out of the system. Get it out. Flush it out. And the more you will flush it out, the more Allah Ta'ala opens up the opportunities for you. Opportunities to serve Him. Because He sees, Allah Ta'ala sees, that this person is not for himself. He is for me. He is not for his integrity. He is for me. He is not for his wealth and his friends. He is for me. So when Allah Ta'ala sees that that's the level of loyalty, that's a level of allegiance, then why won't Allah Ta'ala throw out opportunities to you? He will give you opportunities. Shaitan again, he's got hundreds of thousands of years of service to Allah Ta'ala, uninterrupted service of Allah Ta'ala, being a sajda, what he's not doing, hundreds and thousands of years. Now it comes to the crunch, his own integrity against the allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he's going to show allegiance to Allah ta'ala, that is losing out his own integrity, his own respect. I was working towards this position, to go and secure this position here. I wanted this portfolio to be the vicegerent, to be the representative, to be the one, the masjudul malaika, all the malaika prostrate themselves to me. Today this thing is being shifted away from me to this person, I can't do it. So you see that integrity, that self-respect, that esteem, this he is a killer, really it's a killer. And without this you can't progress. Really, in this path you can't progress. You got that already in your mind, locked up in your mind, I must get this for me to work, can't. One person came up to his sheikh and he complains, you know, I'm by you for so many years and I don't see any type of progress. I've been with you for so long, but I can't just see the progress. So the sheikh tells him, alright, I want to know from you, but what's your intention? What's your intention to come up here? So he says, you know, like you dispensing hidayat, and hundreds of people come to you from all parts of the world, then people may come to me as well, you know, and they may be dispensed with hidayat at my hands. So the sheikh tells him, you know what? You're not even an adult, you're still a minor, and you're dreaming of being a father. You need to grow out of your childhood into your adolescence, become matured, become proper, you know, complete person, then you become a father. Now you're still a child, just nibbling around, you know, and then you're dreaming of being a father. So he said, this is a blockage, because you want that position and the recognition to be able to do dini khidmat. You want to do that khidmat, but when you've been recognized, when you see the type of respect, when you see that integrity, so block it off, smash that off your head first. So this whole path here is aimed to be aimed that you get that application within you. You've got the knowledge, you've got the understanding. Now the application, and the application comes both outer and inner. One is the outer application, we know about the outer application. But it is not just confined to outer application, as an outer application and an inner application. Look at the person now. He's in the service of the Buzurg for 10 years, but no progress. But what was the stumbling block? What was the obstacle? The obstacle was an inner blockage. That inner blockage had to be removed for him to progress. He couldn't progress because he's got it. I must get that recognition. I must become a buzrug also. I must have that recognition. You know, that is why I'm doing this. I'm being all ibadat, whatever else. So I ask you then, what's the difference between that person and shaitan? Shaitan also is doing everything so that he gets the recognition. He gets the respect. He gets the integrity. He wants to move from that integrity onwards. You first move in this way that you go and annihilate yourself first. I'm nothing. You start off with La ilaha. In other words, you are nothing. Let alone all those false gods and deities, you also aren't anything. Forget all the false deities. Your respect is also nothing. You, up to this position, up to this point, you are worshipping your own integrity. You are worshipping your own esteem. Your own integrity you are worshipping. So leave out your integrity. And then just go for the integrity, the azmat, the barai, and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will say, alright, you have covered the first step. Otherwise, you haven't even covered the first step. Because now it's a difference. You got a situation. You got a conflict of interest. Whether yourself or Allah Ta'ala. Whether it is yourself or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see now the subtle character of this arrogance. Such a subtle thing, such a discreet thing. It will come to the fore, and it will come repeatedly. It comes repeatedly, it comes again and again. It comes from different ways. So that is why you see, La ilaha. You start off with La ilaha, then illallah. You break out that self-esteem of yourself, the self-admiration. You remove it from the, you remove it from the equation. You got it out. Now, inshallah, you can progress. But you don't have that removed from your system. How can you progress? I ask you. How can you progress? In Uhud, the lesson in Uhud, when you look at it very, very, very deeply, correctly, and very deeply you look at it, is outer submission. Right? That was the lesson, outer submission. I instructed you to be at that post. You left the post. That was the whole lesson that was demonstrated at Uhud. And then in Hunayn, what was the lesson that was demonstrated in Hunayn? The lesson that was demonstrated in Uhud was, I don't only want an outer display of submission, I want an inner submission as well. أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. So you were consumed on that occasion by your own integrity. You were consumed by your numbers. You felt your numbers, you felt your strength. You had your confidence and your respect, your reliance on your strength. So you did not submit yourself. You didn't give yourself totally within your hearts, within your minds. You had given yourself, well, outwardly you had given yourself. But within your mind that Allah Pak does. Do you have that within your mind? See, this is a problem to you, the Shaykh Hamdani says. That outwardly you're going to run down that wealthy person, he's like this, and the dunya ka kutta, etc. By how much of that what you are speaking is within you? If you are resenting the dunya, and you are speaking out against the dunya, then do you have that degree of resentment within your heart as well? More than speaking to that person, you need to have that degree of resentment of the dunya within your mind. Okay, Allah Pak does. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb.